I may use the board today, so I want to have it prepared. But I'm thankful today for salvation, and I thank the Lord for His faithfulness. And I want to, the Lord's laid on my heart to do some doctrinal teaching over the next few weeks. And so I just kind of want to, I had considered maybe doing some of it at night in the night service, but I think it's something that all of us need to get a hold of. And some of the points that we think are necessary, that we feel like the Lord given us, we want you to pray for us. And today I know we're not going to be able to get through everything that we have listed here, but we want to lay the foundation and maybe in the next coming weeks be able to go a little bit more in depth on what we believe the Lord would have us to do. And it's necessary for us to understand doctrine. It's necessary for us to know what we believe and why we believe what we believe. And I've often said to you, and I still say it, it is your responsibility as well as my responsibility to search out the Scriptures. It is not just for you to take what I say and run with it. I don't care who it is. You are going to have to stand before the Lord for yourself. And it is going to be necessary for you to have known that the Lord did not just leave your spiritual well-being in the hands of somebody else. Now, it is our responsibility as a pastor to lead you in the right direction, but we are an under-shepherd. We have the responsibility to get the word at the Lord's mouth and give you what the Lord has said. And then it's your responsibility to take that word that is delivered from the pulpit, whoever it is that is presenting it. It is your responsibility to take it and study out the Scripture and ask the Lord for yourself. So what we do as a group of people, we come together, we pray together, we worship together, we study together, we seek the Lord together, and we are endeavoring by the grace of God to do and to understand what it means for us to live for the Lord. But again, I want to say that it is my responsibility as a pastor to make certain that I am getting the words from the Lord, and it's your responsibility as a congregant to make certain that I'm getting the word from the Lord. Do you get you understand what I'm saying? We have really the same responsibility. And so I want, with that in mind, I want maybe to deal with some of the pitfalls that we deal with from a day-to-day basis. We are in one of the most, well, no generation before us has been saturated with information like we are. We have more information available to us today than the previous generation had in their lifetime. So let's take that into consideration as we look into the Word of God. The first scripture I want us to turn to is in 1 John, the 4th chapter. I want to start reading at the first verse. If you have it, you can read it for us. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, don't believe every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they are of God. So it says, first of all, don't believe every spirit. This is why I feel like I have a responsibility to tell you that you have every right to try my spirit, to try anybody that stands before you, that you give the privilege to stand before you and you listen to them. You have a right to try their spirit. So it says, beloved, it's talking to people that he's concerned about, talking to people that he loved. Believe not every spirit. So right there, it gives us warning that there are some things that you, when you approach something, there are some things that we have to approach with skepticism. There are some things that we have to approach with an understanding that this, I want to see if this is right. I want to see if this sounds right, if it smells right, or if it looks right. So we utilize what God has given us to be able to understand the spirits that are out there today. All right. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they are of God. You want to make certain that the Spirit is of God, all right? And why? Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby ye know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now, what does that mean? Because if you go to in and out, what is it talking about too? It's talking about not just there are some spirits that we know are not the Spirit of God. We don't even have to second guess them. We don't have to understand them. We know that they are not of God, all right? There are some spirits that we know that. Then there are some that we're not so certain as to what has taken place or what it is. And so we're a little bit concerned about it. But it says here, the reason that we're to be concerned because many false prophets are gone out into the world. There are a lot of folks that claim to be what they're not, all right? There are a lot of folks that claim to be a prophet of God, and they're not. They're false prophets. So we need to have the discernment from the Spirit of God to be able to discern what is right and what is not right. And we live in a generation now that our generation we have a lot of distractions, let's put it that way. We have a lot of things that distract us, and the radio, the iPhone, all the things that we have available to us, it actually prevents us in some ways from actually going and delving into the Scripture and understanding, because we can get it by going, typing in Google and find out what somebody else says about it. But what about you trying the Spirit? What about you coming up with the conclusion, Lord, I want to know for myself whether or not this is what you would have me to do. That's your job. That's your job. And so the whole point is you're trying to get to heaven. I don't have a heaven to take you to. My desire is to get to heaven and go. Let us go together. So my responsibility, Lord, I want to try every spirit. Something that says it is of God, I want to know that it's of God or if it's not of God. The devil is a very subtle creature. Oh, I don't know if he's a creature. Let's not put it as a creature. He's a very subtle spirit. And he does whatever he can to go under the cover of darkness to lead us astray. So we've got to be careful about that. So he says here, hereby know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Everybody, the devil can say Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, but can he say that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, he died, and his blood was shed, and he was resurrected again to save us from our sin, not in our sin. All right? Now, the Lord saves from sin. Now, that's one of the things that we'll discuss. We won't discuss that today, but He saves from sin. He does not want to save us, and that the great... Now, there's the and this is why we say that there's a necessity for us to understand in a greater way doctrine. Because there are a lot of folks that are saying, you know, it's really just impossible to live free from sin. Do you know that that's in the Bible? Then made free from sin. You know, the Lord can deliver us. This is what it's talking about when it says, every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh. Why did he come? What was the purpose of Christ coming in the flesh? It was to be an example to us. What did he do? He said he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. So when we submit ourselves to the Lord, he gives us the ability to live a righteous and a holy life, if that's what we want to do. Now, if you choose not to do it, that's up to you. That's between you and the Lord. But the purpose of Jesus coming in the flesh was to die on a cross. And the purpose of that death was to shed his precious blood. And the purpose of the blood is to cleanse us through and through from all sin. All right? So, I want to lay that down. And I want us to turn to Acts, the 8th chapter. And I want to start reading, starting at about the 5th verse. And we're going to read quite a bit here. Acts 8, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ unto him. Isn't that what we're supposed to preach? We're supposed to preach Christ. And do you know our doctrine is to reflect Christ in essence? What a doctrine is not to actually make us more... it is to point us to Christ. It is to give us a clearer understanding of what it means, what the Bible means. All right? So you see, he went down and he preached Christ. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame, they were healed. So he saw the evidence of what the Lord was able to do. Philip went down, he was preaching, and the whole city began to see the effects of it. And saints, this is why it's imperative for us to live a righteous, live as close to the Lord, a righteous and holy life, and live as close to the Lord as we possibly can. Because somebody is looking at us. And as we minister, there should be power in our preaching. There should be power in our testimony. There should be power in our lives that actually destroys the power of the enemy. May the Lord help us to be able to do that. All right, read. And there were great joy in that city. But there was a certain man, and this is what I want us to get a hold of. There was a certain man called Simon, which before times in the same city, he used sorcery and bewitched the people. Now, what is sorcery? Sorcery is witchcraft. All right?
So this man was a man in a whole city, and this man was a man that used witchcraft, used sorcery. Now this is what the Bible is saying, to bewitch the people. Now one of the things that we have to understand, one of the reasons that I started with the scripture of us trying the spirits, is because we have to understand that we need discernment. We need to be able to discern what is of God and what is not of God. We need to be able to discern, no matter who it comes from. If it comes from me, you need to be able to discern that what I am saying is of God or not of God. All right? That's your job. That's your responsibility. All right? Because you've got a heaven to go. You've got a soul that you are solely responsible for. All right? So he said that there was this man. He was Simon, and he was a sorcerer. He was giving out that himself. He was some great one. So now what we have is we have sorcery.
I don't know why it's hard to do it when you're up on the board.
He was a sorcerer, and he was using sorcery to bewitch the people. All right, and then what he was doing, he was giving out himself as what? Some great one. Okay, he was a great one. All right. All right, read. They all gave heed. From the least to the greatest. Now what we said here at the beginning is try the spirit. This man had the ability to give them something that they want. And we live in a generation and a time that we are so affected by our senses. All right? That we are intellectual, so we want something that is intellectually stimulating.
Intellectual, let me put it that way. Intellectual, emotional, I really know how to spell. I was a good speller in school, but it seems like when I get up on the board and do it, if I was a teacher, it probably would come a little easier for me.
So we want intellectual stimulation, we want emotional stimulation, right? And this is something that we do. And so when we come to a service of the Lord, one of the things that we want is to be stimulated in some kind of a way. We want to be intellectually stimulated, so we hope that the preacher gets up there and he brings in some intellectual thing and he presents it in a way that kind of stimulates my senses and whatnot. And there's nothing wrong with that, because I believe that there should be, to some level, an intellectual stimulation. It shouldn't be boring. All right? And there should be, to some degree, an emotional stimulation in some way, but that's not the main thing. Now, if we're not careful, what we'll look at and what is happening in our generation is, it seems like these are the things that we put emphasis on. So now, if you go to the average church, what you find is that there is a great emphasis on emotional stimulation. You get somebody up there, and they get a microphone, and there's the music and whatnot, and it has an effect on those that are in the audience. All right? And I'm not saying, I want you to understand, and I'm not going to apologize for this, but I want you to understand that I am not saying that there should be none whatsoever. But what we're most interested in is a spiritual stimulation. Lord, I want to be spiritual. There needs to be a spiritual stimulation. There needs to be something that touches my spirit. There needs to be something that touches down in the depths of my soul, that I've made a connection with the God of heaven. All these other things are minutiae. They are secondary completely, but there is a stimulation. There's a spiritual connection that I have made with the Lord. All right? Not an emotional intellectual stimulation that I made with the people. I want, when I come to a service of God, I want to be able to touch God. I want to be able to touch God on His throne. I want the preacher to give me some understanding of how to get through with the problem that I'm having right now. Emotions aren't going to help me. Intellect isn't going to help me. This is a spiritual warfare, and I need the preacher to tell me through the Scripture, through the Word of God, how I can have victory over my attitude. How can I have victory? How can I be able to forgive? How can I be able to... I'm in a battle. I'm in a trial. I need something that will penetrate all these things and help me in my spirit. That's what I need. And that's the responsibility, to point us in that direction. I can't tell you I have all the answers. I don't. But I can point you to one that does. I may not have the solution to your problem, but I know Jesus has the solution to your problem. All right? All right, let's go a little further here. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest. This man is the great power of God. So you see why it's important for you to try the Spirit? Because this whole town believed that this man that was a witch, that was a sorcerer, that was actually using the power of Satan to bring about whatever kind of miracles or whatever he did, this man was not a man of God, but he had everybody fooled in believing that he was. Lord help us. This is why I'm saying to you again, it is your responsibility to make certain that the person that's preaching to you is a man or a woman of God. All right? And if they're not, you're under no obligation to set under their preaching. All right? Read.
And to whom they had regard, because
that
a long time.
Yes. He had done it for a long time.
But when they believed Philip.
All right? When they believed. Now I'm going to stop there before we get to what they're talking about Philip. Now, you've heard me say many times that most religious spirits, all religious spirits, work through the spirit of witchcraft. All right? And one of the things that a familiar spirit is a spirit that plays God to a person. And so it knows all of the whys and wherefores, and it knows what to say, what not to say, all of those things. And it knows what a person is seeking. So if you're seeking something other than just being strictly obedient to the Lord, it's going to give you that. And this is one of the things that you can go to any place in the city of Dallas or in the United States, you can find a church, you can find somebody that is worshiping just like you want them to worship. If you're not interested in having too much of the Holy Ghost in a service, you can find some place that has that. If you're not too interested and you want them to give you a little bit of intellectual stimulation or emotional stimulation or whatever it is, you can find that. You can just go with whatever it is that you want. All right? But this man was a man that one of the things that he did, he was a sorcerer and he called himself to be a great one. One of the things that the Scripture tells us all to do is that we say, humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and God will do the exalting. It is not for me or it's not for anyone to lift somebody up or somebody to feel like they're so lifted up that you have to do what they're telling you to do and that they feel themselves that they're some great one. Do you suppose that Paul or Philip or Peter or John or the different ones, do you suppose that they felt like they were some great one? Do you suppose that they would do some of the things that we see folks doing nowadays rather than being submissive and humble before the Lord, then we're just bowing down at folks' feet? That's not for us to do, is it? We're to try the Spirit. We're to see whether or not the Spirit is a Spirit of God or not. And if it's not a Spirit of God, we're asking the Lord, Lord, I want you to help. And this is why it's your responsibility, our responsibility, each one of our responsibilities, to pray for those that have rule over you. Now, what I mean by that, that's what the Scripture says. And we're to obey them. The Lord has given it to us as pastors and whatnot for us to preach and for us to teach and for us to show you by the Word of God what it is that the Lord requires of you. And then it's for you, and this is why I endeavor by the grace of God to give you plenty of Scripture. It's not just my opinion. It's not just something that I want to do or something that what some folks want to say is, you know what, that's just the way the church of God is taught down through the ages. But you know what? The Lord has given me understanding and opening up my understanding, and I understand things a little bit different than the way that I used to understand, and be very careful about that. Though it is your responsibility to understand and to look into the Word of God, you need to know that there are many false prophets that are going out into the world. And you need to check your motive, and you need to understand, Lord, is it that I want to be closer to you? I've known of people, it's not so much that they want to be closer to the Lord. They're already close to the Lord. The Lord has already helped them, and the Lord has already been with them. But let me tell you what tends to happen when we open our minds a little bit too much to the things of this world. There is a seed that the enemy would endeavor to plant in our minds, and it takes some time for it to grow. He will plant a seed of false doctrine in your mind by a false prophet, or maybe somebody that's not really a false prophet, but they don't have a clarity of understanding of what they're saying. You're having a conversation with somebody. well, that's not really how I see it. And they drop a little seed, and this is what that's... And if you don't know the Scripture, do you realize that you'll be pulled in, sucked into that? And some thing, you know what, you know one of the things that when we built this church, there was a big, beautiful oak tree. Big, beautiful oak tree somewhere in here. We wanted to keep it. Actually, that tree right there, they told us we needed to cut it down. We didn't do it. And the reason they said that we needed to take that down was because it would affect the foundation. All right? And it would grow up on, it had to be, everything had to be at least 30 feet away from the foundation of this structure. And do you know why they did, why they said that? They said it because, have you seen trees that are too close to a foundation? Have you seen what it does? It affects it in some kind of way, doesn't it? So if you take a seed and you drop a seed, a little acorn, I've got pecans at my house, lots of them. And I've noticed something, there were so many of them this year, we didn't pick them all up. We just left them there. But you know what? I've got lots of, in the flower beds, I've got a lot of pecan trees that are sprouting up. I pull them up and I see it, and the little pecan shell comes out, and you see the little leaves that are growing up. And if I leave it there, they're this far from, 12 inches from my foundation. You suppose that would be a good idea? But you know, if I leave it there long enough, you know what it'll be? It'll be a tree this big around. And it'll affect that foundation. And so in the same way, what I want to say to you is there are some philosophies that the enemy has dropped into the minds of people. I was talking to somebody the other day, well, Serena, and she was saying something on the order of that college really does try to brainwash you. And they try to instill, in your college courses, they instill certain things in some of them. I'm not saying all of them, and I'm not against education. But they try to instill certain things that will actually affect how you see the world, a worldview. And so what we need to understand is not every worldview that is presented to us is a correct way of looking at the world. And so this is why we brought out, this is why we bring out again, try the Spirit and see if it's of God. And if it's not of God, then you have the right and the obligation to discard it. All right, so this man here is a man that's coming, and as far as the people can see, they don't have the level of discernment that they need. And the level of discernment is with Simon is that they need to understand that what this man is dealing with is not the Spirit of God at all, it's the spirit of the devil that's playing like it's God. And so he had them all bewitched, and they all looked at him as some great one until they came in and they saw the real deal. All right, read.
When they believed Philip,
preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God,
in the name of Jesus Christ,
they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, yes, and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. All right, he watched this. This is a man that obviously had done some miracles and signs, but he saw that there was something superior. And no doubt the reason, you know, people have various reasons of giving, of getting saved, or various reasons of following Christianity, and some of them are not all noble reasons. And so this man, he himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they had come down, they prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy weakness, and pray God
that perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Now, you know, I wonder if I said that to somebody, would they get their feelings hurt? If you said that to somebody, if you said it to somebody that you know your heart ain't right with the Lord. They were pretty bold back then. In our generation, they'd have some issues with it. It'd probably go from one coast to the other in a few minutes because somebody was offended at you telling the truth about them. But this man, let's deal with Simon. They were talking about the Holy Ghost, and they went down and they laid their hands on him and they received the Holy Ghost. Do you know that that is one of the most important things that you can do to maintain your integrity with the Lord and to live a righteous and a victorious life is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You need to be sanctified. You need to have the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That's one of the doctrines. Lord, give me your Spirit, where you literally have the Spirit of God ruling and reigning in your life. And this is what was happening down in Samaria. They removed those that had demonic spirits. They came out of them. And no doubt Simon saw this, and Simon saw what was going on, and he said, the power that these men have is much greater than the power that I have. Do you realize that the power of God is much greater than the power of witchcraft? You know, you don't have to worry about somebody putting a spell on you. You know what? As long as you have the covering of the Holy Ghost, by the grace of God, no matter what the devil does to you, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. All right, so what we see here in this situation is that these individuals, pray for us. All right. Okay, so we have Simon. Pray for us. Lord, help us. Talking about the Holy Ghost, that we want to talk about. Give us, he said, saying, give me also this power that on whosoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Now, the infilling of the Holy Ghost is one of the most important things, as we said, for us to receive. If you're not sanctified, if you don't have that, you need to seek for it. Now, one of the things that have taken place in our generation is there is a false doctrine that has evolved, and that's the false doctrine of, and it's a false doctrine of the tongues. And we're going to deal with that. Right? We're going to touch on it just a little bit today, because we're almost out of time. We're going to touch on it just a little bit today, and then we're going to deal with it more in depth as we go on. I want us to turn to 2 Peter 2 and verse 1, but I want to take note of that. Receiving of the Holy Ghost, and how Simon, who had seen the power that the disciples had, wanted that same thing and wanted to pay for it. All right, let's 2 Peter 2, verse 1. There were false prophets also among the people, even if there should be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. Okay, so we started out by saying, try the Spirit. He said there are going to be false prophets and false teachers, even among you. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean among the church? And there are going to be, whether it's among the church, whether it's in your circle in the church, whether it's in your circle of friends, whether it's in the circle of the people that you hang out with, there are a lot of folks that don't know what the Bible really speaks about. And this is why it's important for us to have these kinds of teachings, all right? So it says that false prophets among the people, even if there should be false teachers among you, they denying the Lord that bought them, bring upon themselves swift destruction. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. So there are going to be some folks that rise up, and there are going to be some folks that people are going to follow their pernicious ways, their highly destructive, wicked ways. And the reason that they're going to follow it, because what they say sounds good. It's stimulating intellectually. It's stimulating emotionally. It's logical in some kind of a way, but it's not truth. One of the things that we learned in our Sunday school lesson this morning is that the devil, one of the best way to lie to a person is to mix as much truth as you possibly can with it, and give them something that is verifiable, something that you can, that oh, this is right, and this is right. Well, all of it must be right.
May the Lord help us. And again, I believe the Lord would have us to present these things to us, this lesson. This is more of a lesson than a sermon. The Lord would have us to present this type of a lesson to us because we're living in that kind of a time where individuals are being duped, if you will. They're being deceived, if you will. They're going in a direction that the Lord doesn't want them to go in, and it's our responsibility to cry loud and spare not. All right? All right, go a little further. Many shall fall in their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. I want us to go to Deuteronomy. Again, we're laying the foundation of what we're going to be dealing with over the next coming weeks. Deuteronomy 13, verse 1. Start there, please.
If there arise,
among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, he gives you a sign or a wonder, and this thing comes to pass. Just what he said would happen, happened. Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. So in other words, here's some verifiable proof that this prophet, this dreamer of dreams, has come in and said, well, you know what? This is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and the other is going to happen, and that's why you should follow me instead of following the Lord. All right? So now what the enemy wants to do is give you something that is verifiable, something that you can say, well, they said it was going to happen, and it happened just like this, saints. This is why it's important for you to know and to understand the voice of the Lord. Scripture says very plainly, my sheep hear my voice. They know it. And another they will not follow. So who I'm speaking to today is the voice of the Lord. Don't think that just because as we get close to the end of time and you've been saved for how many ever years, I've been saved for a long time too. But let me tell you, the devil comes in and he tries to tempt every one of us to lead us astray in another direction. And he's not going to get it by making us smoke cigarettes and drink beer and do a whole bunch of running around and all that. That's not how he's going to do it. How he's going to do it with some folks is to come in undercover in a religious way and lead you in another direction. May the Lord help you to understand that that's what the devil does. That I just don't. This makes more sense to me. You know, as we're intellectual beings, and I like being stimulated intellectually. I don't want somebody that is dull talking to me. So I want to be, but I, more than that, what I want is somebody that stimulates my soul. And I know, you know what? It wasn't like a downpour, but it was just a steady rain. And you know what? It blessed me. It doesn't have to be boisterous, but it needs to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us. All right? Now. All right. Did we finish that? All right, let's go to. Yes. Acts. Okay. Okay, we're going to turn to Acts 20. What was the Acts 20? Acts
20.
Yes. 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 Feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood.
For I know this.
After my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock.
Also of your own
selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. That's a good.
Therefore, watch
and remember.
By the space of 3 years,
I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Let me tell you what the devil wants to do. The devil wants to tear up the church of God. He wants to destroy it. I appreciate that, Brother Daniels. Appreciate that scripture. That's a good scripture. And he wants to destroy it. He wants to divide it. And you know what? He's doing a good job. But I'm talking about anywhere. You know, I'm not just talking about those that we know. But I am talking about that. Not exclusively, not only. You understand what I'm saying? And so what we have to understand is the devil is going to do everything he can to destroy you. He doesn't like you. He doesn't like me. He doesn't like the fact that you're in service right now. So take heed, therefore, unto yourself and unto the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. That's our job. And sometimes the thing that I have to do is not necessarily popular. Sometimes it's not even things that I want to have to preach on, but I have a responsibility. For I know that after my departing, this is Paul speaking, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Do you know that happens and that's happening? Lord, help us. It's not for us to follow a man. This is why I tell you from time to time, don't just follow me. Make certain that I'm following the Lord. You follow me as I follow Christ. Now, I want you to, if it's taking us closer to the Lord, then follow that. But if it's taking you further away from the Lord, there's something wrong, and you need to smell it, you need to discern it, you need to see it, you need to feel it, you need to know, Lord, that's not right. And you know, the reason we don't follow those things is because we know deep down in our we've tried the Spirit, and it's not right. Lord, help us. All right. Now, one of the things that we're going to discuss is probably the next thing that we're going to discuss is on my list of things to talk about today, but I wanted to lay the foundation, is the fact of speaking in tongues. That seems like that has kind of been a divisive thing, and it has come among the people of God. It's come among us, and sad to say, and some people are confused by it. Some people don't know, well, is there really something in that in 1 Corinthians 14th chapter? Is there really something in Acts, the second chapter? And we're going to deal with those things. I want to turn to Acts, the second chapter, and I want to just kind of leave us with something, and we'll probably pick this up next Sunday, if it be the Lord's will. Let's turn to the second chapter of Acts, and let's read that. We'll kind of lay this as a foundation, and then to be picked up on the next time. When the day of Pentecost was fully come. Again, we want to reiterate, try the spirits, okay? When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set up on each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Now I want to stop there for a moment. And we're going to go a little bit more in depth, because there are some other things that are maybe a little bit more questionable in the Corinthian letter, 14th chapter of Corinthians. But here is one of the things. Now I want us to understand, this was the advent, this was the inauguration, you might say, of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God was coming. Now, I want to also bring us back to where Simon, and they were looking for the Spirit of the Lord. They were asking if these, Simon and Philip and Samaria, I want to bring us back to that this and tie all of that in together, that this was the Spirit of God, that these people in Samaria had not received it, and now this is the advent of the Holy Ghost coming in, and these people spake in tongue. All right? So there is such a thing as speaking in tongue. There is such a thing, according to Scripture, of that it is a language that the gift of the Spirit. So we're not going to say that there is no such thing as speaking in tongue. But what we are going to say, when you read this, it says here, if you just look at it simply and you go a little more in depth now, when this was noised abroad, a multitude came together and they were confounded. Why were they confounded? Read it. No. They were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And so this was a language that somebody understood. This was as the Lord gave them, if you're wanting to have the experience that is had on the day of Pentecost, then the Lord gives you a gift of tongues that you speak and somebody understands you. somebody understands what is being said. All right? I don't find in the Scripture where somebody doesn't understand what they're saying. But the Lord gave them a gift, and they spoke that gift, and they spoke that language, and other people understood what it is. It was not evidence of the Holy Ghost. Which nowadays, what has happened, there is an evolution that has taken place, that has taken place. It used to be that this is the evidence of the Holy Spirit. That if you get the tongues, you don't have the tongue, you don't have the Holy Ghost until you speak in tongues. That's not true. May the Lord help us to be able to discern and try the Spirit, to be able to know and understand, Lord, what is it that you're trying to get over to me? Help me to study this and know it for myself. Help me to know it, Lord, not because I want to do something different, but I want to know because you want me to know. You want me to have an understanding. And when we go over into Corinthians, what we'll find is that a lot of the things that Paul says is, I want you to have an understanding. I don't want you to be confused. I want you to understand. So may the Lord help us. I'm going to leave it there for today. And I want to encourage you, don't just swallow anything. When something is presented, if there is a thought, and let me tell you, I've been presented with things that I didn't quite understand. And I just hid them away in my heart and I pondered them and I prayed about them and I asked the Lord about them. And I want you to understand something. I want folks to understand me as a pastor. And I probably told you this many times, but I want to reiterate it to you. I am not a Church of God pastor simply because this is what I was raised in. I'm one because the Lord convicted me and convinced me on some things that I wasn't convicted and convinced about when I first got saved. There are some things about the way that we taught and the way that we believe that I just didn't agree with. But I was respectful enough not to just, nowadays folks just blatantly tell you, I was respectful enough not to do it. And I didn't tell everybody that I didn't agree with it. And I don't believe that. I didn't tell them that, but I didn't. And so I had this little covenant with the Lord. And I said to the Lord, Lord, these things that I don't understand and that I don't agree with, I want you to give me an answer to them. Nobody knew it. But as I began to search it out and seek it out, the Lord gave me convictions. The Lord told me what to do. How to do it. How He would be pleased with my life. And I've endeavored by the grace of God. There were some things that didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen in a few months. It took me a few years. But do you know what? Every one of those questions and every one of those things that I did not agree with and did not understand, the Lord satisfied my mind with them in some kind of a way. And so today, and you can rest assured that I wouldn't be standing up here preaching if I didn't believe what we taught. Amen, by the grace of God, I believe it'll take you to heaven. I've seen the evidence of it. I believe it'll help you through all the trials because I've seen the evidence of it. I felt the evidence of it. I've seen the victory in my life. I've seen the victory in other folks' lives. I've seen what the Lord has done. So I want to encourage you. You find out. You do this for yourself. It's for you. You're going to have to go to heaven. And when you stand before the Lord, it's going to be just you. You know, when somebody dies, nobody can die with them. Nobody can go with them. We can't hold your hand and go and cross over the other side. But Jesus can. And I want to encourage you that way. Pray for me.